world. I'm John Batchelor. The Scala Report with CEO Chris Riegel of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. We go to China, where there is no transparency about the scale of the pandemic, but there are headlines. For example, from Bloomberg, China's COVID zero enforcement army faces unpaid wages. And what we know about the Kraken COVID variant XBB 1.1.5 and why it's causing concern. To my knowledge, it's not in China yet, but everything gets around. And China halts COVID tally for 3 days, clouding true impact of world's biggest outbreak. Chris, a very good evening to you. The non-transparency of China means we can only guess at the pandemic. The headlines over this last week have emphasized that it's moving from the big city, Shanghai and Beijing, into rural China. However, there's also the story of the economy said to be reopening, the factories of China said to be reopening. At the same time, Xi Jinping is making harsh statements about businesses and collusion with others, collusion with the outside world. I believe he's addressing private enterprise, not the state-owned enterprises. What is Xi Jinping's concern about collusion now that his economy is struggling with the zero COVID policy and now with the pandemic? Good evening to you, Chris.
Good evening, John. With Mr. Xi's point towards collusion, in his position as ruler for life, he has a challenge, which is it's difficult to have someone to blame. In the U.S. system, where you have a Republican or a Democratic president and a Republican or Democratic House or Senate, you always have the other guy to blame. But when you're the absolute ruler, you have to have someone to blame for a problem, because if it seemed to be your problem, that is a problem for you. So the point to collusion is to point towards some form of an enemy, whether within or external, to take the blame for mistakes of the regime. The key point to understand at all points within China is that the regime has to be seen as trustworthy, has to be seen as capable by the people, because if the people start to protest en masse against it, they know that they're at systemic risk. So it's always good to have an external enemy.
I see. So the enemy is outside of us. However, you direct me to a BBC report in these last days. China COVID, workers making tests clash with police at factory. There is a photograph from Reuters of a lot of young people standing around in the nighttime with masks on, and the explanation from BBC, workers clashed with police at a COVID test kit factory in China. Videos posted on social media showed the protest started on last Saturday, after a sudden announcement of layoffs and disputes over wages in the southwestern city of Chongqing. As I recall, Chongqing is a major factory town in one of the big cities of China. Is this similar to the protests that we reported on before Christmas at the iPhone factory? It seems to be connected to the COVID zero policy at the same time. But that word layoffs, that was not something I read about at iPhone. It was just work for people being forced to work and wanted a break. But this time, is there large unemployment going on across China?
John, so China is facing two problems at once. You have COVID, which is ripping through the country and is dealing with surges in hospitalization, surges in death. So that would be a very unfortunate situation. In parallel to that, you have the economic contagion that's happening now. You're seeing the amount of product that's coming out of China in containers, as an example, down by 30% year over year. So the Chinese economy is constricting. And if you look at, say, the last 15 to 20 years, the Chinese have known nothing but growth per se. Even with the 2008 financial crisis, the Chinese central government flooded liquidity into the market to ease the pain. But now, to use the analogy, those chickens are coming home to roost. The Chinese economy is very shaky. You're seeing unemployment layoffs. You're seeing frustration in that worker base that before could walk from one job to the next in a matter of hours. But now the jobs may not be there anymore. So there's an economic risk and challenge there that's bubbling below the surface quite violently.
This factory was making test kits, had to do with COVID. And the BBC reports some videos suggest later at night some protesters threw chairs, crates, and traffic cones at a group of riot police deployed at the scene, forcing the officers to retreat. And then one of the videos had this quote: It is only right and proper that you need to pay money back if you owe others. This is the road of demanding unpaid salary. So these workers are not only protesting their layoffs, they've not been paid for the time they've worked. Is this routine in China and we just don't hear a lot of reporting because of the Chinese miracle was the narrative for so long that we skipped local disputes, or is this a fresh wind?
Unfortunately, it's not tremendously uncommon in China. That being said, the economic constriction that's happening will simply cause more stories like this to show up. So you will see more disobedience, more problems, hopefully not, but more violence around factory closings and others as you get to a more and more economically desperate position.
And how does this affect the recovery for the United States and Europe from what, from pandemic, which is, to my reporting, ongoing with another Omicron variant dominating here in the Northeast, the XBB iteration? How does this affect the recovery? And also, how does this affect the expectation of the recession? Does this speak to the recession, or is this isolated in China?
This speaks to the greater global recession. If China is the factory floor of the world, when the demand is lower, then the factory is running at a lower pace. I think the thing to state would be to watch very closely the first several days of February. Chinese New Year will materially be over January 31st. People start to return to factories. If you see a major, major disruption of people or dislocation of people because of the spread of COVID coming back from Chinese New Year, or you see shutdowns there, expect that to take a very, very hard toll on supply chain in Q2 and Q3. Now it's a wait and see scenario.
We come home to America in any event because there are headlines here that are completely contradictory. U.S. inflation cools again, putting Fed on track to downshift. Stocks, well, they go up and down. But today's data, says Bloomberg, show the soft landing prospects are alive and well. Now, how does this translate to expectations of a recession? I believe all the bankers save one on Wall Street has been saying recession is imminent. Goldman Sachs was an outlier as of these last hours, saying perhaps it can be avoided. But you're business to business, so you would see first, most sensitively, what is happening in America, especially all its franchises. Are they still anticipating a recession and a slowdown, or are some thinking that perhaps we can avoid it?
Yes, John, I would say very much so. You're starting to see in the retail space and some of the service and hospitality space, large retailers who have been mentioned in the news preparing for bankruptcies or liquidity event challenges. You're starting to see that in certain sectors of hospitality as well, of bankruptcies. Now that cheap money has dried up, even though there was a cooler inflation print this morning, which is a good sign, but that likely shows that the recession is truly kicking in now. And companies that were able to sustain the business models on cheap cash, now that cash is no longer cheap, are going to face increasing headwinds. And that will likely cause more disruption and potentially either accelerate a recession or confirm that to be in place.
The puzzle about this particular recession is the jobs. The jobs numbers are not as strong as they were, but they are strong in comparison to the expectation of recession. There are also lots of unfilled jobs. Is that changing in any fashion at the business-to-business level, not the customer-to-business, but what you see is the backroom boys and girls? Are they changing their attitude?
You're seeing large layoffs in many of the business-to-business sectors, especially in tech, companies like Salesforce, who announced large cuts in the last 2 weeks. Many of those business-to-business businesses are tightening the belt because their customers are seeing slowness from the end consumer. So it's all a waterfall effect, but it's certainly evidence that things are cooling quite a bit.
And China's business plan now, Chris, from the outside, just reading about it, it does not look sustainable. Is it, you know, brutalizing people, laying off people, bullying private enterprise? Is that the future?
At the end of the day, in emerging sectors of technology or other, China will be challenged to have a world-class economy unless they have the freedoms that are associated with those types of economies. Smart people follow great ideas and the ability to execute on them. China is somewhat making their own bed, whereby which without freedom and with the challenges of things like Mr. Mao having his fortune taken away, if you're driving your best and brightest out, they'll go be successful elsewhere. And unfortunately, that may be a fate for China in the future.
Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm. This is the Scholar Report. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.